Welcome into the Whole Hog Podcast. Seth Campbell bringing you all of today's action, and I will be joined today by Dudley Dawson, writer for Hogs Illustrated. He covers recruiting and a whole lot of other things for Hogs Illustrated, a man of many talents. Thanks so much for joining us here today, Dudley.
No problem. Good. Glad to do it.
Dudley is going to be joining us as we continue our series looking back on the past decade of Arkansas Razorback sports. And we're going to also recap a little bit. Dudley, as I said, covers recruiting. And there was a big day that happened in recruiting and National Signing Day. So we're going to hit that as well. If you haven't listened to the podcast previous to this, you can get caught up on all of the guys that I brought on so far. We're winding down this podcast, which makes sense since we're getting into February. We should probably wrap up the recap of the decade. We have a Bob Holt and Scotty Bordelon, I believe, left. So if you wanted to catch up on anybody else's, you can go through and see that on our channel. All right, Dudley, we'll start with the present and then we'll go back to the past. Starting right now with National Signing Day, what did you think of the class that Pittman was able to pull?
Well, I've been very impressed with what he's been able to do since he got here. 24 overall signees and grad transfers when you throw those in there. He somehow made it from 109th in the rankings when he first got here, and obviously there weren't many recruits left. But 109th to – he was 29th on signing day. I think it's 30th now. 15 of those 24 recruits are on defense, so that's an area that obviously Arkansas needed to improve on. And certainly they went after that. They did some good work on the offensive and defensive lines, which is not surprising since that's, an area of focus for Coach Pittman. But, I think one of the other things that I was very impressed with, while everybody around him, including me, were talking about how great they had done to get to 29th, he made it clear that he thought that was disappointing. That's not where they want to be in the future. And I think that's a good sign to get work done, but also to come out that day and not use coach speak and just say that's not where we want to be.
Yeah, he's an excellent recruiter. He's been known as an excellent recruiter everywhere he's gone. So to finish outside of the top 25 for a guy that normally does that is probably not the most exciting thing for him.
Yeah, and it's important to note that the four grad transfers are not included in those rankings. And you know, that would help out a little bit. I'd have to do a deep dive to see, what everybody else has done. But, 25 to 30 in that first class, and you go back and you consider that I think Coach Morris's first class, he was 49th. Coach B's first class, I think he was in the 30th, had some great players in there. You know, they went on to play in the NFL, at least briefly. A very good effort, I think, by Coach Pittman and his staff, and now they'll go to work and have gone to work and already getting a commitment from Wynn offensive lineman Terry Wells in the 2021 class. I think you'll see them improve on that number 29 ranking. Now, that being said, you're still 10th or 11th in the conference, so it's tough out there.
It is definitely tough living in the Southeastern Conference. You've gotten to cover two coaches now that have been hired during this early signing day period. You know, this is a new thing with this early signing day. How have you seen both of these coaches handle it, and which one do you think, I guess, handled it better?
Well, I think both of them would tell you that it just sucks, you know, having to take over with such a limited time. I would say that, I have the ability to look back on Coach Morris's, obviously, and Coach Pittman. We'll see how this, this plays itself out. It's a good class on paper, but we'll see how it plays itself out. But obviously, I think when you look at it overall, the first class, Coach Pittman did a little bit better because he got so many early enrollees in here and guys that can come right in and contribute, and including those four graduate transfers and several other Julius Coates, the defensive tackle from East Mississippi Community College, and some other high school kids that are able to get in here. He's got a chance for those kids in his first class to have more immediate impact right away than Coach Morris's did. But I will say, for all the acrimony with how things went with Coach Morris, he left him some really good building blocks here. Not enough, but, some good ones that he can build on.
And Morris was more known as an offensive guy. And do you believe that he left the cupboard a little more stocked on that offensive side, and that's why Pittman went to the defense to recruit?
Yeah, probably so. Although I do think that there are a lot of young defensive backs over there that have certainly a lot of promise that came in and played some, and some didn't get to play and were almost going to transfer, like Devin Bush, and decided to stay. Jalen Cantillon, I think, would have been one that would probably have transferred too if Coach Morris had stayed here. But I think he hit a spot. He identified pretty quickly that, yes, he had some good players on offense. He did not have what he thought was a good enough in the front seven on defense, and I think they went and took care of that. They now have plenty of numbers at linebacker. We'll see how that, if it's real depth or it's just numbers.
You've gotten to talk to a lot of these guys and write stories about them and see them. Give me a name of a guy that you think will make an impact next year.
Well, I think Julius Coates is a kid who has been in college 3 years, three years of junior college. He'll have two to play two here. He's 6'6", 270, can play defensive end, is a former tight end, so he has really good feet. He's someone I think that will come in and play right away. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You look at the offensive line, I think you've got some kids. And Coach Pittman, obviously he had Denver Kirkland and Dan Skipper and some other guys that he brought in and he played right away. If he thinks you can play and you're going to make a few mistakes, but he thinks you can play better over the long run, he'll go ahead and put you in there. And I think these three offensive linemen that they signed, Ray Curry, Jalen St. John, are a couple of guys that could get in there and play right away, along with the other kid from Memphis that they signed in Marcus. I think they've got a chance to come in and play right away because they have SEC type bodies already.
You mentioned the community college ranks and going in and pulling some guys from JUCO and to bring them up. How important was it for Pittman to get a guy that has experience in the community college and JUCO ranks, I guess I should say, the JUCO ranks in linebackers coach Ryan Rhodes and to get him on staff?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a really good thing. Now, he doesn't want to go too heavy on junior college, but he knows that, to build back up the program, there are some spots you're going to have to get. Julius Coates is a young man who never had stepped foot on this campus until he enrolled in January. So that was, that was an impressive bit of recruiting to get a guy who, had visited Nebraska, Colorado, Utah, some other schools that, without stepping foot on campus. And that shows you kind of the kind of reach that he had. I think getting a guy like Julius Coates and getting those four grad transfer guys, which you kind of include in the upperclassmen guys, I think that was big for him in terms of the validity of the class.
Dudley, you may not know the answer to this question, and it may differ from coach to coach, but Pittman was known as a great recruiter in his time as an offensive line coach here at Georgia, wherever. How much does a coach, a head coach, get to recruit now?
Not as much as he used to. I mean, and that's one thing he said he was going to have to adjust to a little bit. While he'll still get to call kids, he'll still get to see them on campus when they come in. He only gets one visit now that you're the head coach to see them. He won't get the six that he has as an assistant coach that he can develop that relationship that he was always so good about. He'll have to do that from afar a little bit right now. I know he'll still find a way to do that. And he looks like he has hired a very good staff in terms of relationships and getting people to come along. But it's going to be a little bit different from him. And I think he mentioned that. I can't remember whether it was at the fan introductory press conference or the one with the media later on, that it was going to be different for him because he was going to have to be a little less hands-on in terms of recruiting. But I am sure that he'll get his point across. And one of the key things, especially at Arkansas, is getting these kids on campus. And if they're on campus, he can talk to them as much as he wants to, whether it's an unofficial visit or official or whatever. So I'm sure he'll make a big strides there. And to his credit, he's hired some guys, I think, that will develop good relationships. And there's plenty of stuff you can do, via Twitter and all this new social media stuff that you can still have a good relationship with, but it's going to be a little bit different for him.
Talking to Dudley Dawson, writer for Hogs Illustrated, wholehogsports.com. You can find this stuff there. The Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I can keep going if you want me to keep going. No, but you can find all of his stuff there online. But you mentioned Twitter there, and let's shift now a little bit to talking about this past decade, Dudley. How much has social media changed the recruiting game?
A lot. I mean, it used to just be phone calls from landlines, you know, for the longest time, and then cell phones. Obviously, Facebook came along, and really that was one of the reasons I joined Facebook, was because so many recruits were getting on it, and that was the Instagram or Snapchat or whatever it is you young fellas use these days, to talk to the recruits. I'm amazed that a lot of these guys, they like you just DMing them and DMing them back instead of actually picking up a phone to answer it, or they'd rather text, you know. So you have to have a differentiation when you do story now. Such and such texted or such and such tweeted. You can't just say they said, you know. So it has changed the game totally. I know that the coaches love Twitter because it's not very regulated right now. In terms of what the NCAA does, you can do a lot of different things, and it helps with relationships. I think Twitter's a great thing. I also think it's the bane of my existence at times in terms of people who may don't think what they're really saying and just put it out there, or people who just want to wake up negative and be negative on Twitter. But I think it's a good forum in terms of recruiting. Same way with Instagram. And it looks like the one thing I will give Coach Morris and his staff, they did a great job with social media and had a lot of, interesting things. And I think things that got recruits' attention. And I think it looks like we're going to have the same thing in terms of this staff coming in and doing the same thing. But it's very important. You cannot not have a social media presence now, especially if you've won four of your last four of your last 24 games and eight of your last 36. You have to have something out there to help out in terms of, you can't sell the product on the field. You can sell hope, and you have to have pictures that show that, that's one thing. I love the way that coaches these days, like on National Signing Day, all the juniors they really like, they sent pictures of them in an Arkansas uniform, saying this will be a U signing next year, or kids that they're recruiting, they on NFL draft day, draft days, I guess it is, they'll put them in an Arkansas uniform and say the number one draft pick, and all that. So they do a really good job with that. And having been a father, I know that if you get something shiny, it helps out in terms of keeping their attention.
I think we would be remiss here if we were talking about social media and coaches and we didn't mention the head basketball coach of the University of Arkansas, Eric Musselman, who is known for doing that at Nevada and has really continued that push here at Arkansas.
Yeah, and certainly I think he has a great media consultant in his wife, and who I think has a lot to do with that. But he's embraced it to the fact that sometimes it's maybe not the best look, but the kids love it. Him in a uniform is better than me in a basketball uniform, I would say. But still, he's vertically challenged, and I think that the thing he's done with the recruits and taking the pictures has become a really big deal. I mean, when I talk to basketball recruits and they're thinking about taking a visit, they're telling me what picture they want to take, in terms of what NBA players and does like, and he's. That with his NBA experience, and I got to say that in the whole staff's NBA experience, Clay Mosier spent so much time with Kobe Bryant when he was with the Lakers. That helps. I mean, I don't care whether you like the Lakers or not, and I don't, being a Celtics fan, but that has a lot of street cred out there, and I've seen that over the course of the time they've been here, and I'm sure it's going to continue that way.
What's your favorite sport to cover, football, basketball, or – another one?
My favorite sport, without a doubt, is baseball. It was my favorite to play. It's my favorite to cover. It's my favorite to watch. All the other sports are great too, but baseball is my love.
Looking back over,
it's the longest relationship I've ever had.
There you go. Looking back over the recruiting decade, we talked to Richard earlier on the podcast, and he was talking about, there's some crazy things. Y'all did Froholt coming over. That's something that you don't see every year.
Yeah, for the longest time, I called him a Jalty, and he never corrected me. And then one time when I called over there, his mom answered the phone and yelled. So it turns out that's what his name. But I said, why didn't you ever correct me? And he said, it's funny, the way you're saying it. I said, okay. Well, I was in here in the state in Arkansas going, Jalty, Froholt. So, yeah, it's interesting dealing with these kids. So.
And then another one that we brought up was Alex Collins and that whole signing day debacle. That was interesting.
His mom getting the papers and running out the door. Thankfully, they get that all worked out and he got here and certainly had a great career here. Hopefully he'll get, healthy and get back on the team in the NFL next year.
But when you think about recruiting in the past decade, and you've gotten to cover multiple coaches. In fact, if you want to throw 2020 into the past decade, then you could go all the way from Petrino to Bielema. I mean, John L. Smith was in there, Chad Morris, and Sam Pittman. So staying on the football side, what did each of those guys, I guess, kind of bring to the table, and what would you say worked and didn't work for those guys?
Well, I would say starting with Petrino, he certainly had great success, gave the fans hope, and those last 2 years were phenomenal. He was an okay recruiter. It's no secret if you've been on our message board that he's not my favorite person personally and not a big fan there, but I was always a big fan of what he did as a football coach and certainly as an offensive football coach. He took the talent that he had and got it into a system and it was very successful. I think he had a really good recruiting guy helping him out in Tim Horton, who helped him keep that first class together, that one that was so good with Greg Childs and Joe Adams and Jarius Wright and so many others that, went on to be very successful here. So, I think his more was coaching than recruiting. I think John L. Smith, well, that was an interesting year, and University of Alabama reference and smiles and all that. As we look back on that, you thought that team was so good it would be able to just have a caretaker as a coach, but that did not work out. Then I think when you bring in Coach B, they did a wonderful job that first year of kind of re-targeting the program back to moving forward and did a really good job with those first 3 years, I think, in recruiting. Then the assistants started to get head coaching jobs or defensive coordinator jobs, and I think it slipped because he went to from hiring top-notch coaches to hiring assistants to the assistants in the NFL. And I think recruiting really dropped off the last 3 years and left Coach Morris what he had coming in here. We get a lot of grief on the message board about how Coach B and Coach Morris, at times really recruited about as well as anybody here. When you just look at the analytics of things. Now, obviously didn't do well in evaluating some places, didn't do well at developing. I would say now that this staff, because it's Coach Pittman, because he has had such success in recruiting, has the chance to be as good as any this decade. But again, that's a body of work that we'll have to see happen. He's certainly done it as an offensive line coach. We'll see how it works as a head coach. But, a pretty good representation right off the bat here with this first class. And now I look forward to seeing what he gets done in the second class, because that's really a measure of what kind of staff you have is that second year, not the first one.
What's the key to recruiting at Arkansas?
It may sound strange, but I think maybe the biggest key is you're never going to get a bunch of five stars. You've done a pretty good job of getting four stars, but you're going to, for the vast majority of the percentage of kids, you're going to have three stars, whether they be low three stars or high three stars or almost four stars, you'll get some four stars. The number one thing at Arkansas to me is you've got to find kids that are not only are great players right away, but you've got to find a guy like a Brandon Burlesworth. You've got to find somebody that was not highly recruited, but that you can see skill in, and you can see a higher ceiling than maybe you could see of a player who's a four-star who's not going to develop very much. He may have gotten. I mean, you can a 16-year-old and 18-year-old, and those are a lot in the classes. Some are old 16-year-olds, some are young 18-year-olds. You've got to figure out what they're going to do, both physically, maturity-wise, mentally, and the ability to develop. I think that's always going to be a key here at Arkansas unless you just got things rolling, and it has not been rolled. So I think you have to do a very good job at evaluating kids that can get better and have a higher ceiling as opposed to another kid that you're looking at and saying, well, he's really good right now, but he's been 6'1 since he was 14. It's really important to look at measurables, but I think it's more important to be able to understand what development both physically, mentally, maturity-wise that a kid can do here than it is a lot of other places. I mean, at Alabama, you just pick and choose.
Yeah, they don't get the luxury that they do at the University of Alabama. All right, talking to Dudley Dawson, writer, reporter for Hogs Illustrated, and you can see his stuff on wholehogsports.com. Dudley, looking over the past decade, who was your favorite player that you covered on the recruiting beat, or you can even, I guess, say at the University of Arkansas?
Well, probably favorite kid to cover, I would say that, and I'm trying to think of when the decade ended. I really think that Jarius Wright was a great kid. Not only was really good at interviews, which, you know, we out here want good quotes. You know, if they win, that's okay, but want good quotes. But I always thought he was a leader on and off the field. He was always great with the media. I have a lot of respect for the two Allen quarterbacks, Brandon and Austin, because they took so much heat just because their dad, you know, used to be a coach here and was involved in the program. I mean, they burned one of them's truck up, you know, so, you know, give them a lot of credit. Alex Collins is another that, you know, I never would have known much about Riverdance if he hadn't come along. But there's just so many out there that, you know, that they were just great kids that were raised great, whether they came from two-parent homes or single-parent homes or were raised by their grandparents, if some have been. You know, I think that more often than not, and certainly there's a percentage at every school where you take chances on the kids and they turn out to not be the upstanding individuals that you hope they would be. But I think for the vast majority, Arkansas has had great representatives in their football players, not only on the field but off the field. If you look at the last decade, there's just so many of them that, you know, it's just – and I tell you what, I'm not trying to slight anybody in this current class, but Andy Boykin, who is a defensive lineman that they signed from Georgia, he has a chance to be my favorite in this class. He's very personable. Great, great, great quote. So I'm looking forward to hopefully he'll go ahead and get the academics that he needs and gets up here so we can interview him.
Thanks so much, Dudley, for coming on today on the Whole Hog Podcast. Before I let you go, you know, thank me here because I almost said I wanted you to look into the future and predict where you think each one of the major three sports here at the University of Arkansas goes. But the more I thought about that question, I'm more like, I don't want to put Dudley on the spot there.
Well, and you also should always go revenue producing if you want to, you know, if you want to keep everybody happy.
Right, right. And so instead of that, we'll start Razorback football, and then we'll move on to basketball. But in the next decade, in the 2020s, what is something the Razorback fans can expect from Razorback football in the next decade, in the 2020s?
I would think that they would get out of the mire of being the laughing stock of the SEC, being a punching bag, both in terms of on and off the field. You know, it's been bad. All for except a couple of years. Coach B had some years there that there was hope. Obviously, the 2 years with Coach Petrino were great. The others, you know, are just kind of and when they lost that second half lead against Missouri, and I guess it was 2016, 2017, whichever one it was, the program's been headed downhill. So I think they have a good staff in place right now. I think it gets respect from the rest of the country. Now they have to go out and prove it on the field. Do I think they're going to win championships in this decade? It's hard to get to the top of the SEC, but maybe you have a chance somewhere in there. But you got to take a baby step before you can start running. So
then on the other side, instead of stepping and running, people want to see dancing with the basketball team. Do you see the Razorbacks, and what do you see in the Razorback basketball
team? 16-7 and 4-6 and setting, I believe it's 10th in the standings, even though the standings are bunched up there. They're going to have to play really well down the stretch, and I'm not sure how well they can do that with Isaiah Joe out and with such a limited bench. I think they have great hope for the future with the Fab Four recruits they have coming in. You've also got the three guys setting out, so you're going to have seven new players at least. If Jones and Joe come back, then you're really looking at something next year. If not, then I think you're still looking at a pretty good team. But if I was to have to bet today, I don't think they'll make the NCAA tournament, probably make the NIT, although it's high, it's a tough to get in the NIT these days. But I think there's a lot of bright future for the program, and I think everybody that's walking out on the ledge right now needs to come back and realize what they had at the start of the year, even if they did so good during what really was an easy part of the schedule.
Definitely was. And then let's talk baseball. You said you like baseball there. DVH and the Baseball Hogs, he seems to have the program where everybody else at the University of Arkansas wants to have their program.
Yeah, right? It is something else that if you don't go to the College World Series this year, then there's going to be a lot of people around here who will appreciate what they've done, but will be disappointed. And that's just rough when, you know, being one of the last eight teams every year, it has to be the standard, but that's where they've got. And I'm looking forward to the season starting on Friday. Got my Bob Carpenter scorebook coming in, ready to go, and looking forward to the season. Excited about some of the new guys that they've got over there. And obviously you've got two preseason All-Americans that, you know, I think will have good years. And you know, except for a 1 year there where Arkansas had too many seniors on its baseball team. You don't want a lot of seniors on your baseball team. You want them all to be drafted when they're juniors. If you've got too many seniors, then they're quality guys, but, you know, maybe not the ones that you need. You know, looking forward to this season, and I'm sure that, you know, when football was losing, everybody said, well, baseball season's coming around. When basketball started losing, baseball season's getting here. I don't know what they do if baseball loses a few games in a row. Probably won't, but you know, Coach Van Horn has built on what Coach Norm DeBrien has done, and that program is just something else right now.
Definitely is. All right, Dudley, I can't let you get out of here, though. How do you think the Cardinals are going to do?
I would like to have a little bit more information on who's going to play left field and how well they're going to do. Looking forward to spring training. Pitchers and catchers are there. They'll have workouts you know, this week getting started. So I always feel good going into the season, but I always wish we had done more. That's a coaching element, I guess.
And it happens. Can get you out of here without asking about the St. Louis Cardinals. All right, Dudley, thanks so much for joining us.
You bet.
As I said, you can get all of Dudley's articles, past, present, and future, on wholehogsports.com. He also writes for Hogs Illustrated, which we had Clay Henry on. That was last week. We had Clay Henry on last week, and he said you can pick that up. You can subscribe, and they'll send it to you in the mail. You can pick it up at your local Walmart. Once again, thanks to Dudley Dawson, and make sure that you hit that subscribe button there so that way you can get all of this great Razorback content coming into your subscription box. You don't have to come out. You don't have to find us. You don't have to wait for us to post. As soon as we post it, it'll be right there for you, so make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere that you listen to this podcast right now. Make sure to subscribe. Once again, I'm Seth Campbell. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you back here next week.